Chapter 72. The telephone rang at 11:15 p.m. Sandecker laid aside the book he was reading in bed and answered. Sandecker? Pitt again. The admiral pushed himself to a sitting position and cleared his mind. Where are you calling from this time?
Albany. Something has come up.
Another problem with the salvage project?
I called it off.
Sandecker took a deep breath.
Do you mind telling me why?
We were looking in the wrong place.
Oh, Christ, he groaned. That tears it. Damn.
No doubt at all?
Not in my mind.
Hang on. Sandecker picked out a cigar from a humidor on the bedside table and lit it. Even though the trade embargo with Cuba had been lifted in 1985, he still preferred the milder flavor and looser wrap of a Honduras over the Havana. He always felt that a good cigar kept the world at bay. He blew out a rolling cloud and came back on the line.
Dirk?
Still here.
What do I tell the president?
There was silence. Then Pitt spoke slowly and distinctly. Tell him the odds have dropped from 1,000,000 to 1 to 1,000 to 1.
You found something?
I didn't say that.
Then what are you working on?
Nothing more than a gut feeling.
What do you need from me? Asked Sandecker.
Please get a hold of Heidi Milligan. She's staying at the Gramercy Park Hotel in New York. Ask her to dig into old railroad archives for any maps that show New York and Quebec Northern Railroad tracks, sidings and spurs between Albany and the Deauville-Hudson Bridge during the years 1880 to 1914.
Okay, I'll take care of it. Got her number?
You'll have to get it from information. Sandecker took a long puff on the cigar.
How does it look for Monday?
Grim. You can't rush these things.
The president needs that treaty copy.
Why?
Don't you know?
Moon clammed up when I asked.
The president is speaking before the House of Commons and the Senate of the Canadian Parliament. His speech centers around a plea for merging our two countries into one. Alan Mercier let me in on it this morning. Since Quebec went independent, the maritime provinces have been considering statehood. The president is hoping to talk the western provinces into joining, too. That's where a signed copy of the North American Treaty comes in. Not to coerce or threaten, but to eliminate the red tape jungle of the transition and stonewall any objections and interference from the United Kingdom. His pitch for a unified North America is only 58 hours away. You get the action?
Yes, Pitt said sullenly. I've got it now. And while you're at it, thank the president and his little group for letting me know at the last minute.
Would it have mattered otherwise?
No, I guess not.
Where can Heidi get in touch with you?
I'll keep the DeSoto moored at the bridge site as a command post. All calls can be relayed from there.
There was nothing more to say, so Sandecker simply said,
Good luck.
Thanks, Pitt came back.
And then the line went dead.
Sandecker had the number of Heidi's hotel in less than a minute. He dialed direct and waited for the connection.
Good evening, Gramercy Park Hotel, a sleepy female voice answered.
Commander Milligan's room, please.
A pause.
Yes, room 367. I'll ring.
Hello,
a man answered.
Is this Commander Milligan's room? Sandecker demanded impatiently.
No, sir. This is the assistant manager. The commander is out for the evening.
Any idea when she'll return?
No, sir. She didn't stop at the desk when she left.
You must have a photographic memory, said Sandecker suspiciously.
Sir?
Do you recognize all your guests when they pass through the lobby?
When they're very attractive ladies who stand 6 feet tall and wear a cast on one leg, I do.
I see.
May I give her a message?
Sandecker thought a moment.
No message. I'll call again later.
1 minute, sir. I think she passed by and entered the elevator while we've been talking. If you'll hold on, I'll have the switchboard ring her room and transfer your call.
In room 367, Brian Shaw laid down the receiver and walked into the bathroom. Heidi lay in the tub, covered by a blanket of bubbles, her cast-enclosed leg propped awkwardly on the edge of the tub. Her hair was covered by a plastic shower cap, and she lazily held an empty glass in one hand.
Venus born of the foam and the sea. Shaw laughed. I wish I had a picture of this.
I can't reach the champagne, she said, pointing to a magnum of Tattinger Brut Reserve Vintage in an ice bucket perched on the wash basin. He nodded and filled her glass. Then he poured the remainder of the chilled champagne over her breasts. She yelped and tried to splash him, but he ducked nimbly back through the doorway. I owe you for that, she shouted.
Before you declare war, you've got a call.
Who is it?
I didn't ask. Sounds like another dirty old man. He nodded at a wall phone mounted between the tub and the commode. You can take it here. I'll hang up the extension.
As soon as her voice came on the line, Shaw clicked the connection and then kept his ear pressed to the receiver. When Heidi and Sandecker finished their conversation, he waited for her to hang up. She didn't. Smart girl, he thought. She didn't trust him. After 10 seconds, he finally heard the disconnect as she placed the handset in its cradle. Then he dialed the hotel switchboard.
May I help you?
Yes. Could you ring room 367 in a minute and ask for Brian Shaw? Please don't say who you are.
Nothing else?
When Shaw himself answers, just punch off the connection.
Yes, sir.
Shaw returned to the bathroom and peered around the door.
Truce?
Heidi looked up and smiled.
How'd you like it if I did that to you?
The sensation wouldn't be the same. I'm not built like you.
Now I'll reek of champagne.
Sounds delicious.
The phones in the suite jangled.
Probably for you, he said casually.
She reached over and answered, then held the handset toward him. They asked for Brian Shaw. Perhaps you'd like to take it in the other room.
I have no secrets, he said, grinning slyly.
He muttered through a one-sided conversation and then hung up. He made an angered expression.
Damn, that was the consulate. I have to meet with someone.
At this time of night, she asked.
He leaned down and kissed her toes that protruded from the end of the cast. Revel in anticipation. I'll be back in 2 hours.
The curator of the Long Island Railroad Museum was an elderly retired accountant who nourished a lifelong passion for the iron horse. He walked yawning through the relics on display while grumbling incessantly about being abruptly awakened in the dead of night to open the building for an FBI agent. He came to an antique door whose glass was etched with an elk standing on a mountain, looking down on a diamond-stacked locomotive puffing a great billow of smoke as it rounded a sharp curve. He fished around with a large ring until he found the right key. Then he unlocked the door, swung it open, and switched on the lights. He paused and stuck out an arm, blocking Shaw's way.
Are you sure you're an FBI man?
Shaw sighed at the stupid wording of the question and produced a hastily forged ID card for the third time. He waited patiently for the curator to read the fine print again.
I assure you, Mr. Reinhold.
Reingold, like the beer.
Sorry, but I assure you the Bureau wouldn't have put you to all this bother if the matter wasn't most urgent.
Reingold looked up at him.
Can you tell me what this is all about?
Afraid not. An Amtrak scandal. I bet you're investigating an Amtrak scandal.
I can't say.
A train robbery, maybe. Must be pretty confidential. I haven't seen any mention on the 6 o'clock news.
Might I ask if we can get on with it? Shaw said impatiently. I'm in a bit of a rush.
Okay, just asking, Reingold said, disappointed. He led the way down an aisle bordered by high shelves crammed with bound volumes on railroading, most of them long out of print. He stopped at the end of one bookcase containing large portfolios, peered through the bottom lenses of his bifocals, and read the titles aloud.
Let's see, track layouts for the New Haven and Hartford, the Lake Shore and Michigan Southern, Boston and Albany. Ah, here it is, the New York and Quebec Northern.
He carried the portfolio over to a table and untied the strings on the cover.
Great railroad in its day, over 2,000 miles of track. Ran a crack express called the Manhattan Limited. Any particular section of the track you're interested in?
I can find it, thank you, said Shaw.
Would you like a cup of coffee? I can make some upstairs in the office, only take a couple of minutes.
You're a civilized man, Mr. Reingold. Coffee sounds fine.
Rheingold nodded and walked back down the aisle. He paused and turned when he came to the doorway. Shaw was sitting at the table studying the faded and yellowing maps. When he returned with the coffee, the portfolio was neatly tied and replaced in its proper niche on the shelf. "Mr. Shaw?" There was no answer. The library room was empty.